Under the helm of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Canada is not a serious country. We proved that over the weekend when the police in Toronto failed to secure a meeting, protect a meeting with two G7 leaders. This is a profound embarrassment for our police, for our government, and for our entire country. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. So I want to make a quick correction on the last episode of The Candace Malcolm Show. I accidentally said that Michael Geist was the former head of the CRTC. That is not correct. He is a former law professor. I was mistaking him with Peter Menzies. Peter Menzies is a former head of the CRTC. Michael Geist is not. So my apologies for that error. All right, let's get into today's show. I want to talk about this incident that happened over the weekend when we saw that the police in Toronto failed to secure a meeting with the Prime Minister of Italy. So Giorgia Meloni was in Canada, in Toronto, over the weekend meeting with Justin Trudeau. Now, it's interesting because in Canada, we don't get a lot of G7 leaders. We don't get a lot of world leaders coming to Canada in the first place. We don't see a lot of them coming here. You know, Trudeau is often going to other countries. He's often embarrassing Canada in front of other countries, but we don't often have people visiting us in Canada, which I think says a lot about Justin Trudeau and how he's regarded by his peers, how Canada is regarded on the international stage and the international community. They just don't take him seriously. It's like an afterthought. They don't bother coming here. And so we finally do have someone who came here. We had the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, visiting Canada. And, you know, it wasn't exactly a good meeting to start with. So there's a bit of a tense relationship that has developed between Trudeau and Meloni, which you can understand why. Justin Trudeau is like a woke far left leader. And Giorgia Meloni is basically the opposite of that. So about a year ago, we had Justin Trudeau slamming Meloni over her gay rights record. We saw that this was back in May, covered by Politico. Canadian Prime Minister called out the Italian leader and her stance on LGBTQ rights during a meeting in Japan. Obviously, Canada is concerned about some of the positions that Italy is taking in terms of gay rights, Trudeau told Meloni, who was visibly annoyed, according to multiple media outlets. But I look forward to talking with you about that, he added. So not a great setting for this meeting to begin with. To add insult to injury, we had the state broadcaster, Trudeau's politicized media, the CBC, writing an absolute smear job about Giorgia Meloni. So they write this article: why Italy's far-right leader Giorgia Meloni is sure to get a lukewarm reception in Canada. How could you get it wrong twice in one headline? CBC, they got it wrong twice in one headline. She's not far-right. Giorgia Meloni is not a far-right leader. And no, she didn't get a warm reception. She actually, her event got canceled because the Toronto police failed to keep her safe, failed to secure the meeting. So first, we did see some meetings take place in Toronto on Saturday over at the Royal York Hotel. And you can see that this event was protested. It was protested by anti-Trudeau groups. And you can see that these are peaceful protests. So here's some video taken by Lincoln Jay, who's a video journalist over at The Rebel. He writes that protesters were gathering outside the Fairmont Royal York in Toronto, where Justin Trudeau and Italian Prime Minister are meeting. And you can see they have some pretty vulgar flags, signs there. They also have some beautiful Canadian flags, just to remind everyone that they are Canadian. But, you know, peaceful protesters, and you can see business as usual. People are still able to come and go from the hotel. So that is what a peaceful protest looks like. The anti-Trudeau people were doing it peacefully. Then the entire group moved uptown over to the Art Gallery of Ontario for a reception. And that is when things got incredibly ugly. So this is how CTV News covered that event on Saturday afternoon.
The rally blocked several entrances to the Art Gallery of Ontario, where Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was set to hold a reception for Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. The event was called off for, quote, security reasons. Hundreds chanted Trudeau was funding a genocide and criticized the federal government's handling of the Israel-Hamas war.
It's interesting they say that Trudeau is funding a genocide. Last time I checked, the Trudeau government funds the United Nations UNRWA, which is a front for Hamas in Gaza. So we're funding that side of the war. And you could argue that they're the ones that are trying to commit a genocide against Jews in Israel. I don't quite understand the accusation that Canada is somehow funding the other side. But anyway, this raises so many other questions, which is that how is it that a small mob, you know, according to CBC, I'll just quickly read from the CBC article. It says Trudeau's Toronto event with Italian Prime Minister Meloni canceled due to pro-Palestinian protest. This article tells us that police told CBC there were roughly 200 to 300 protesters outside the AGO on Saturday. And then due to security concerns, the event was canceled. That is what the PMO told CBC News on Saturday night. How is it that 200 to 300 protesters were able to cancel an entire event? How is that possible? How is it that the police could not contain and could not stop 200 protesters? That's not a lot of people. That's not a lot of protesters to contain when you're talking about two world leaders, Giorgia Meloni, who is the head of the G7 right now, and Justin Trudeau is also a G7 leader and the prime minister of our country. It is shocking that the police couldn't secure this event. They couldn't get them in through a back entryway. They couldn't make sure that they were safe at an event. What a profound embarrassment. What a profound lack of professionalism, lack of preparedness for the police. So I think it does raise a lot of other questions about why this was happening. I'm going to read a few reactions from Twitter, from X. So we had Joseph Mancinelli, who is the head of a union, and he writes, "I am beyond disgusted at the lack of response in Toronto yesterday evening when the mob of hate assaulted members of the Italian community for attending an event with Prime Minister Trudeau and Prime Minister Meloni. Why are our laws being ignored? This does nothing to advance peace. This must stop." So that's absolutely right. Those are all pretty basic questions. These so-called protesters, who really it's more like a mob of activists, they're not peaceful activists. They're not trying to advance peace. They're just basically running roughshod over anybody who disagrees with them. They're disrupting our entire society and our civilization at this point. So we had Brian Lilly, who is a journalist over at the Toronto Sun. He jumped in and he wrote what we're all thinking, which is that this is a national and international embarrassment caused by feckless leadership of the Toronto Police Services. Go on, Dr. Jordan Peterson also remarked, he asked these questions, which are really, really important questions. Was this incompetence? Was it cowardice? Was it a purposeful slight to Meloni? All three are equally unforgivable and equally predictable in Justin Trudeau's Canada. So you could imagine why it would be a purposeful slight to Meloni. We know that Justin Trudeau doesn't really like her. She's too conservative or too right wing. We know that the CBC was setting it up as if she's some kind of a far right leader or a fascist that needs to be stopped. When it comes to dealing with the Palestinian protesters, is it cowardice? Are the police just simply afraid of them? Is that why they're allowed to act with impunity? Or is it simply incompetence? They just don't know what they're doing and they don't know how to secure a basic meeting with world leaders in our city. You know, we're often told that Toronto is a world-class city. Well, I think a world-class city would be able to maintain peace at a big event with, again, the head of the G7 and two leaders of two important countries, Canada and Italy. Ezra Levant, another journalist, ahead of the people, he also jumps in with his opinion. And he said, this is a choice. Peaceful truckers were attacked by police riot horses. Anti-vax mandate protesters were arrested and prosecuted. But Justin Trudeau has sent a clear message that his Hamas street gangs are not to be touched. So whichever of these opinions you agree with as to why this was allowed to happen, regardless, this is an absolute embarrassment for Canada. I can't even fathom the fact that 200 people on the streets in Toronto were able to cause this kind of a ruckus and cancel these events. The Toronto police being unable or perhaps unwilling to protect two world leaders in Toronto is just absolutely, absolutely embarrassing. Now, at least with this event, at least the protesters were protesting the people who have the most political power, the leaders of these two countries. And so you can understand why at least they were there protesting. But there was another protest that happened over the weekend in Greater Toronto that shows that these Palestinian protesters, these pro-Hamas protesters, they're not just interested in getting their voices heard to political leadership. They're also interested in intimidating and going after members of the Jewish community in Toronto. So the next thing that these thugs did was that they showed up at a suburban synagogue in Toronto. They're now targeting places of worship and trying to intimidate Jews. So we had Toronto Sun journalist Joe Warmington. He tweeted this. It was quite the scene developing outside a Thornhill synagogue today. Mayor Stephen DeLuca has called for calm. New York Regional Police were on the scenes just hours after pro-Hamas protesters shut down Justin Trudeau and Georgia Maloney event at the Art Gallery of Toronto. So they moved from the art gallery. They moved to the synagogue. They decided to hit up Canada's largest Jewish community in Thornhill and go after a place of worship. Okay, so I want to walk us through this incident that happened at this event, because again, it just shows how these protesters behave, how they believe that they're above the law and they're better than you and I, and how the police are just pretty incompetent when it comes to dealing with these protesters. So we have a lawyer who's sort of an activist. She's always on the scene filming events. Carmen Saeed, I think her name is, or Karma Saeed. Apologies if I got that wrong. So she shared a clip on Twitter, and I'm going to walk you through it. Basically, what happened is that one of the protesters hit a cop, like struck a cop. You could see her in the clip. She hits a cop, and then she gets arrested right away. According to Karma on Twitter, it says that she went limp and the police carried her away. Then other protesters intervened to demand her release. They formed a barrier around her once she is released, and they were chanting, "Who will keep us safe? Who will keep us safe?" Ezra Levant also commented on this video, and he kind of breaks it down. He says that this is at a Hamas rally at a Jewish synagogue north of Toronto. The 17-second mark, a mass protester hits a cop. They arrest her, but then thugs swarm the police, obstruct the arrest, and pull her free. Is this how it works in Canada? Two-tier policing policy. So let's watch that clip, and I will walk you through what is happening here. So let's play that clip.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on-a-whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Clip now.
We
sliced it up. The first 10 seconds or so there, you can see it's a woman with the red and the black striped coat, the squared coat. And you can see she has her cell phone in her hand and she just sort of swings it and hits the police. At that moment, he's like, enough is enough. And he arrests her. And then we skip forward several minutes in the video where you can see that, you know, one woman says she's a minor, as if that matters, like you're allowed to hit the police if you're a minor. And then you see a man carrying her away. So it doesn't look like she was actually arrested. It looks like the mob, the crowd, stopped the police from doing their job, which is arresting a violent person at a protest. It's not a protest. Once it gets violent, it's not a protest anymore. It's a mob, right? The idea of protest is that they are peaceful. Peaceful is built into that word protest. And once you're not peaceful, you're not a protest anymore. You're just a violent criminal on the street, a thug. And so this woman got violent. But rather than having to face the consequences of her violence, the mob intimidated the police, swarmed the police, and then they were allowed to pull her free. And you can see the man basically run across the street and into the forest. And then there's a whole bunch of other enforcers saying, get away, get away. This is what Ezra Levant is calling two-tier policing. It's official policy, because if you're part of the mob, if you're part of the pro-Hamas side, then you basically, what, again, get impunity. We have Member of Parliament Melissa Lanceman, who is a Member of Parliament for this area. And she posted her thoughts on Instagram. She wrote this: continued escalation in the GTA's largest Jewish neighborhood as mass protesters target a synagogue and a center that provides housing, supports opportunities for adults with disabilities. There are lots of places this can happen without masks, in front of government institutions, consulates, embassies, but not synagogues. It's time our laws are enforced, not just when it's convenient for the government. I think she raises a really good point here. If these protesters wanted to protest the Canadian government's policy, the Canadian government's actions and reactions when it comes to Israel, then they can go protest Justin Trudeau. They can go protest, at their local MP office. They can go protest in Ottawa. They can protest at any government building that they want, right? If they want to protest Israel, then they can go to the Israel consulate or the Israel embassy in Canada and protest there. But that's not what they're doing, right? They're protesting at a synagogue. They're protesting at a place of worship because they're not protesting Israel. They're not protesting Canada. They're protesting against Jews. And this is all about trying to intimidate Jews near their homes, in their communities, in suburban areas. And the fact that they're wearing masks, look, I don't care what your opinion is on whether these people should be able to protest in suburban areas or not. But when it comes to wearing a mask, it should be absolutely clear that you cannot wear a mask. You cannot conceal your identity and go to a protest. We're not talking about the same thing. This isn't about the right to protest and right to free speech. Sure, you have those rights to do that, but you have to deal with the consequences, and you should not ever be able to wear a mask at a protest, like full stop. So there's a lot of areas, a lot of layers that are problematic when it comes to what we saw in Toronto. And again, the police, we've seen this over and over and over again in Canada, the police treat these pro-Hamas protesters or mobs, these violent mobs, with kid gloves. They don't take police seriously. They don't take policing seriously when it comes to this group. They let the mobs just absolutely do what they want. We've seen these Hamas mobs targeting community centers. We've seen them targeting daycares, elementary schools. They ended up downtown Toronto outside a Jewish community center where there was a school, a K-8 school. That's what this looks like, a Jewish community center. So we're talking about like parents picking up their little kids from school, and they had to walk through and deal with this mob of Hamas lunatics, basically. We've seen them protest and target Jewish-owned businesses and places of worship. Again, they get away with it. Just juxtapose that with the way that we saw the truckers treated. When it came to the Canadian truckers, when it came to the Freedom Convoy, what did we see? We saw a peaceful protest being met with police brutality. We saw pepper spray. We saw violence. We saw physical violence with police onto protesters, mass arrests, mass violence. We even saw a little old lady getting trampled by a horse for standing there. There's a video of her moments before she was trampled saying, "We're just here for peaceful protest. We just want our lives back." And what did she get? She got trampled by a police horse. Absolutely unbelievable. That's how they treat Canadians who are protesting for their freedom. And then when it comes to Palestinians, how are they treated? Well, you can be a mass Palestinian protester, and you can just threaten the police and get away with it. I'm telling you, because if you touch it, I'll put him on the floor. You come near me, I'll put your leg down on the floor. I'll lay you sleep. I'll put you 6 feet deep. Masked thug telling a cop, "I'll put you 6 feet deep." And the police just kind of look at each other dumbfounded, and the man walks away. No consequences whatsoever. Or maybe the police will even go one step further. Maybe they will bring you coffee. You know, you're protesting and you're blocking a highway. You're blocking a freeway, stopping people from being able to commute to your work. And the police will literally bring you your Tim Hortons coffee.
Someone told him they can't come back. Otherwise, he would have said, "Okay, I understand."
Okay, I'll just ask. Just so.
There's your coffee, sir. Continue blocking the roads and disrupting traffic and rush hour commutes here in Toronto. So we know that the police seem totally unwilling and unable to deal with these Hamas mobs. But there's another troubling angle here. There's something even worse and even darker happening in Canada. And what Trudeau can do, and I'm talking about his latest censorship bill, Bill C-63. So in response to all of these protests and this total lawlessness that was happening in Toronto over the weekend. We had an Ontario member of the provincial parliament, Lisa McLeod, reacting to the protesters, saying basically what we're all thinking, which is that these people are not pro-Palestine, they're pro-terror. And I think that that is exactly what many of us believe, what many of us think. But in response to that, we had a human rights lawyer, someone who describes himself as someone who's interested in human rights, international criminal justice. He's a Canadian law professor at the University of the Fraser Valley. He has a PhD. He's an author, and he writes this. This is racist and potential hate speech from a sitting provincial legislature. So he says definitively, it is racist to say that these pro-Hamas activists are pro-terror. It's racist to say that they aren't pro-Palestine, that they're pro-terror. I don't see Lisa McLeod talking about the race anymore, so I don't understand how that's racist. And he says it's potential hate speech. So why is that so dangerous? Well, what the heck does hate speech mean? What the heck does it mean that it's potential hate speech? Part of the problem with Bill C-63, which is Justin Trudeau's latest assault on free speech on the internet, the online harms bill, is that it doesn't really define what hate speech is. Whatever it is, you can go to jail for life for using it. You can get fined up to $70,000 for hate speech under this new bill. And so I wrote, you know, when I look at this tweet from this individual who's a law expert, translation is that under Bill C-63, Lisa McLeod will potentially face a fine and jail time for stating a mainstream opinion. I followed up and saying, this law prof, by the way, is a Trudeau fanboy. So yeah, he's exactly the kind of expert who would be jailing you for wrong thing. Here he is, a picture, a selfie with him and his man, Justin Trudeau, back in 2015, saying, come on, let's do this. So very partisan cheerleader tweet trying to get Justin Trudeau elected. Again, this is the kind of person who they would call a so-called expert when it comes to so-called hate speech. And potentially this is the kind of person that could be imposing those kind of treatments in Canada. It's really scary stuff. Really scary that you cannot state a mainstream opinion without someone accusing you of hate speech, knowing that that accusation in the future could lead to you getting fined, you going to jail, you going through a kangaroo court, star court from the Trudeau government. So this is Justin Trudeau's Canada, what we're living through, what we're seeing day in and day out. Canadians protesting an absolute assault on our charter rights and freedoms during COVID. Well, that led to police brutality and martial law. Meanwhile, you have mobs of pro-terror, pro-Hamas mask activists, and they're given completely free range to intimidate Jewish Canadians, to threaten and attack police, and to even shut down the diplomatic meetings of G7 leaders. Justin Trudeau is leading a failed state. He's failed all Canadians. And under his leadership, Canada's barely a country anymore. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show.